If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8. It was in Exodus chapter 7. We read how Pharaoh and the land of Egypt experienced their first plague when Moses and Aaron, they turned the waters into blood. Now, Pharaoh's response was to call his magician to do likewise. That is, bring forth more blood upon the land, more affliction upon the land. Pharaoh, in refusing to hearken unto Moses and Aaron, he turned and he went into his own house. Chapter 7, verse 23. While he's in his house, the Egyptians, they sought for fresh water until the seventh day when the plague was over. Chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. But the plagues for Pharaoh and for Egypt, they're not over yet. They're just, in fact, beginning. Yet, as we discovered last week, it takes more than miracles. It takes more than plagues to instill into a person the ability to turn from sin and to turn to their Savior. It takes God imparting unto them the gift of repentance. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. It takes God imparting unto them the gift of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Well, as we did with the first plague, we will observe, first of all, God's response, and then Moses and Aaron's response, and then finally, Pharaoh's response concerning this next plague. This is really point number two. We saw the response of God, Moses, and Aaron, and Pharaoh concerning the plague of blood. Now we're going to look at the response of God, Moses, and Aaron, and Pharaoh concerning the plague of frogs. And we'll be looking this morning at chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. First of all, let's draw our attention to God's response concerning this plague of frogs. God's response to Pharaoh ignoring the first plague is to command Moses to go and warn Pharaoh as to what he should do and why he should do it. So first of all, he tells Moses to instruct Pharaoh as to what he's to do. Look at verse 1, Exodus chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Now, does this commandment from God to Moses sound somewhat familiar? Well, it should if you just look at chapter 7, verse 16. This was the same instruction that the Lord had already given to Moses concerning the first plague, the plague of blood. Now he gives it to him again, the same commandment, same commandment. I mentioned to you earlier that some liken Pharaoh's holding God's children in bondage here in Egypt to Satan or sin holding God's children in bondage to sin. And the particular passage that we looked at, I'm going to turn there and read it to you once again. You can turn there with me to 1 John if you'd like, or you can just sit and listen to the contrast of those who are the children of Satan versus those who are the children of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now notice what we read here. I'm going to begin my reading in verse 4. Whosoever, this is 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. Here's a definition of sin. For sin is a transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested, talking about Jesus, to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, abideth in Jesus by faith, he sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, you've been taught previous times that the verbs presented down through here about not sinning are in the present tense. You don't keep on sinning. There's not a Christian in this room that has not sinned since you've been born again. But the emphasis is that those who have been liberated by faith in Jesus Christ will not continue to sin. And one of the sins that's been brought out is that of not loving your brother. One of the evidences that you and I have truly been born again, we've been liberated from the power of sin, is that we don't continue to sin and that we do love our brethren. That's the point that he's making here. Now, as we flash back to our passage and recognizing that, yes, some do liken Pharaoh holding the people in bondage there in Egypt to Satan holding in bondage the unbeliever into sin. But the admonition has been given by God to Moses to command them to let the people go. And why did the Lord want Pharaoh to let his people go? Well, we see it right here in verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1. Also, we saw it back in chapter 7, verse 16, that they may serve me. Now, why do you suppose the Lord, through faith in Jesus Christ, has set us free from the bondage of sin? Why? Well, let me read you a couple of verses. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says it like this, "For they themselves show of us what manner of enter in we had unto you, how he turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Paul says, man, you're living proof. You're living proof that our ministry brought forth fruit in that you turned from your idols, you turned unto the Lord to serve the living God. One of the evidences that we've been liberated from the penalty of sin, not only is that we don't continue to sin over and over and over, not only is it that we love our brethren, but there's this whole aspect here is that, hey, we're going to serve. We're going to serve the living and true God. Romans 6, 22 and 23 says it like this. Paul says, now, being made free from sin, all right, what's the purpose of being made free from sin? You became the servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at your very first purpose that I have here for you. As God's ambassador, I purpose to share with unbelievers what? How they can be set free from the penalty of sin. And, watch, to share with believers how they can be set free from the power of sin in their lives. God spoke to Moses as to what he was to do, what he was to say. Well, second, he tells Moses to instruct Pharaoh not only as to what he's going to do, but why he's going to do it. Look at verse 2. I'm back in Exodus chapter 8. I'm looking at verse 2. "And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs." Moses is instructed, first of all, of the Lord to warn Pharaoh. Warn him of the consequences of not letting them go. "I will smite all thy borders with frogs." What's the consequence? that Satan and unrepenting sinners will experience. Well, I could take you over to Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, and the consequence for Satan and the consequence for all those who follow his wicked ways is everlasting hell, the hellfires. John 3:36 says it like this: He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Look at our purpose, please. When sharing the gospel, now watch, when sharing the gospel with another, I purpose to give them both the good news and the bad news about receiving or rejecting Jesus as the Savior. Now, you and I are pretty faithful when given the gospel that we speak of how Christ died for sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. But part of the gospel is also to warn them about what happens to those who do not receive the good news that Jesus saves. And I want you to notice here the instructions that God gives to Moses in warning him as to why it's going to happen. Watch the details that he gives. The details of God's judgment that he wants Moses to share with Pharaoh found in verses 3 and 4. Ready? And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, unto thy ovens, into the kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. The frogs are going to come up from the river, the very same river that they worshiped. They're going to come up and they're going to be everywhere. Did you notice that no place is going to be spared? Oh, they're going to be found in their house, they're going to be found in their bedchamber, they're going to be found in their bed. They're going to be found in their ovens, they're going to be found in the kneading troughs. And along with no place being spared, no person was going to be spared. He talks about how it was going to be in Pharaoh's house, how it was going to be in his servant's house, how it was going to be in his people's house. There was no place going to be spared. All the land of Egypt, both the Goshen where the Israelites were and the rest, they were going to experience this plague. The plague of the frogs. Now remember last week how we mentioned our sins can bring consequences to others. Pharaoh's refusal to hear and to heed God's word would result in suffering for all the people in the land of Egypt. Not just some, but for all. The frogs are going to be everywhere, in every house, upon every person. What I want you to understand is this. The Bible clearly teaches that we will not be judged for the sin of others, but only for our own sins. You will never be judged for your mate's sins. You will only be judged for your own sins. You won't be judged for your parents' sins. You'll only be judged for your own sins. You won't be judged for your boss's sins. You'll only be judged for your own sins. Now, we know that especially from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18. One such passage that appears there is this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You do not experience the judgment that this sinner experiences in your life. But the Bible also clearly teaches us that we can suffer the consequences of another sinner, not the judgment. But we can experience the consequences. We don't have to go very far in the Bible to find this true. We have Cain. His sin was murder. And who experienced that consequence? Abel. So it's possible, yes, biblically, that it's possible that you and I may experience the consequences of the sins of others, but we will not experience their judgment. We are judged for our sins and our sins only. A leader may wrongly lead his country into war with the result of the death of many. It's estimated that between 70 and 85 million people died as a result of World War II. That's a lot of suffering, people, because a few made sinful decisions. Look at your purpose, please. Knowing my sin can cause great pain to others, I purpose to strive not to sin. All right, so what else did the Lord instruct Moses to do? Look at verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. God told Moses to tell Aaron to stretch forth the rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, causing all these frogs to come up and to cover the land. All right, so we've noted God's response concerning this plague of frogs. Now focus with me in this verse, Moses and Aaron's response concerning the plague of frogs. Verse 6, and Moses, he stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up. They covered the land of Egypt. This verse indicates Moses obeyed God in instructing Aaron as to what he's doing, and Aaron obeyed Moses because he did it. Look at your next two purposes on your sheet. Because God's word will surely come to pass, I purpose to hear it and heed it. You know what? If that's the only purpose and principle you go out with today, that's plenty. Next one. I purpose to follow Moses and Aaron's example in these verses and trust and obey the word of God. That's what we see them doing, trusting and obeying. Well, that brings us now to the heart of our message here today, and that's Pharaoh's response concerning the plague of frogs. Let's note Pharaoh's instruction to his magicians. Look at verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. It appears just like the first plague when Pharaoh instructed his magicians to duplicate Moses and Aaron's plague of turning the blood into, or the waters into blood. Once again, he instructs his magicians to duplicate Moses and Aaron's plague with the frogs. And the end result, of course, is even more suffering for the people. And I mentioned to you last week is that whereas false teachers can bring more suffering to you, they're not going to take away your suffering. And these magicians only have the power to give the people more suffering, not to take it away. Look at your purpose. When God is judging a person and they refuse to repent, I can expect them to make irrational decisions. And the irrational decision was for Pharaoh to ask his magicians to bring forth more frogs. Is that rational, people? Would you call that clear thinking? I mean, we look at our politicians today, and don't you scratch your head and wonder, how in the world can they make such a decision? Whose eyes are they looking out of? Don't they have a brain? Can't they think? And the answer is no. Because when a man, woman, child refuses to hear and heed the word of God, they're not going to make rational decisions. They're going to make irrational decisions. And that's something you and I should expect. If you see something other than that, then you really should be confounded. Now, look at Pharaoh's instructions to Moses and Aaron here in verse 8. We saw what he instructed his magicians to do. Now look what he instructs Moses and Aaron to do. Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. He said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. It seems it only took two plagues to bring Pharaoh to repentance. Now, we're not told how many days the frogs had covered the land, but I suspect it's been more than one day. Pharaoh, he asked Moses to entreat, which is also translated pray. Pray the Lord would take away the frogs from him and from the people. Now, what does that say to you about who Pharaoh thought had brought this plague upon the land? He thought it was the God of Moses and Aaron had called this plague, for he asked them to pray to their God for relief. What does Pharaoh assure Moses and Aaron that he will do if God removes this plague? What's he say? Oh, I'll let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Do you think that Moses and Aaron have been fairly clear in their presentation of God's message to Pharaoh? Did Pharaoh, at least in part, understand the message that had been communicated to him? I think so. Look at your purpose. See if you agree with this. When another repeats what I have shared with them, it may indicate I was clear in my communication to them. How can you know if your children have understood your communication with them? They'll be able to what? Repeat it. I can still picture my wife, Teresa, dealing with the children. Because sometimes they didn't always listen. Can you imagine that? But I can picture her coming and putting one hand on one side of the cheek, one hand on the other side of the cheek, looking up, making them look right up in the eyes, and saying to this, okay, what did mommy say? And then she made them what? Repeat it. Sometimes that's what God does to us. Man, he puts one hand on this, and he looks up and he says, okay, repeat what I just said. And we repeat it. Now, that may give you some indication, well, at least I've been fairly clear in my communication with them. Just the fact that Pharaoh acknowledged that it was God, their God, they worshiped that brought this plague, and he wanted them to pray that their God would take this plague away, indicates that there were some things that he understood, that they were being kind of clear in their communication with them. But I want you to see how Moses responds to Pharaoh's seemingly spirit of repentance. It appears that he puts into practice 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, which says, love believeth all things and hopeth all things. Moses takes Pharaoh at his word. Now, previously, God had told Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, back in chapter 7, verse 1. But I want you to watch now how Moses submits himself to Pharaoh. Instead of him ruling over Pharaoh, he's going to let Pharaoh make the decision. Look at verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. All right, you make the decision. Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee? And for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may only remain in the river only. You see, Moses allows Pharaoh to have authority in making the decision as to when Moses should ask God to remove all the frogs from them, from their homes, so that they'd only be found in the waters themselves. Look at your purpose. Does it make sense? though I am God's ambassador, I purpose to realize there may be times God would have me to permit others to make the decision as to when they would have me to pray for them for deliverance. And how did Pharaoh respond to making the decision when this plague should end? Look at verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. I remember the first time I read this, I began to laugh. And I'll tell you, every time I read it since then, I smile. I can't help it. He said, tomorrow. That's the title of my message. One more night with the frogs. One more night of finding them in the kitchen among the foodstuffs. One more night of having them slime you while you're asleep. One more night. We shake our heads in disbelief, and yet we've all done something very, very similar. Every night, we go to bed holding a grudge against another or holding on to some other sin. Are we not inviting the Lord to continue to chase us one more night? You see, one more night without true repentance only brings further chastening. They had the chastening of those frogs the whole night long. It's bad enough just hearing them croak. At times we've been at camp and have been camping out just to hear them croak. That's bad enough. Let alone have them in bed with you. Though there's no true repentance in Pharaoh's heart, nevertheless, Moses, in accordance to Pharaoh's word, he agrees to entreat the Lord that tomorrow the plague would end. But he does so, why? Did you see that phrase? That thou mayest know there is none like the Lord our God. That's the reason why he'll do this. And what does Moses say that the Lord our God would do? Look at verse 11. And the frogs shall depart from thee, from thy houses, from thy servants, from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. Look at your purpose, please. Using the word of God, I purpose to share with others what God can do for them if they will but believe and ask. But by whose faith do you suppose it was? Was it Pharaoh's faith? Was it Moses' faith that all this would come to pass? I think you probably guessed right, but let's read about it in verses 12 through 14. And Moses and Aaron, they went out from Pharaoh. And Moses, he cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields, and they were gathered them unto heaps, and the land stank. Moses, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord did according to the words of Moses. It was Moses' faith in the word of God that resulted in this answer to this plague. James, he instructs us to pray without wavering with faith. And it's going to be given to us. James 1, verses 5 through 6. Therefore, look at your purpose. Knowing something is God's will, it's written, I purpose to pray believing. You and I should be able to pray anytime over a promise given to us in the Word of God, believing it, for it is written. God answered Moses' prayer because it was the will of God. This plague came and it ended because it was the will of God. Now focus on the next purpose, all right? And try to understand it. I purpose to pray in Jesus' name. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying according to the will of God. I'm going to pray in Jesus' name or according to his will. That is, I'm going to pray in the spirit and not in the flesh. Praying in Jesus' name, praying in the will of God, is praying in the spirit of God. Every prayer that comes down from heaven ascends unto heaven. When you and I, moved by the Spirit of God, pray unto our God, praying in his will, praying in Jesus' name, you can be guaranteed that prayer will be answered. It's God's will. But what other lesson can be found here in verse 14? Huh? And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land, it stank. What principle? Well, some plagues that come upon us because of our sins, they leave lasting consequences. They just simply stink. Purpose. Because I do not want any lasting stinking consequences, I purpose to repent of my sin immediately. Not tomorrow, today. Today is a day of salvation. And what was Pharaoh's response to the old plague of frogs? Well, he'd asked Moses to entreat for him back in verse 8. He'd asked Moses to destroy the frogs tomorrow, verse 10. And Moses did entreat for him, verse 12. God removed the frogs out of the houses, villages, and fields, verse 13. But there's still another response of Pharaoh concerning the plague of frogs, and it's found in verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or that there was relief, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. How did Pharaoh respond when God took away this plague? Well, when he experienced relief from the plague, he changed his mind by not letting the people go. We never do anything like that, right? Have you ever, under the chastening hand of God, crying out to him, only to have him lift his hand of chastening from you, so soon forget what you promised him? Oh, that you would stop this, or oh, that you would start this. God, if you could only take your hand of chastening from you, I promise that I'll no longer do this. Lord, if you just take your hand of chastening from you, oh, I promise you I'll do this. And when the chastening hand was lifted, you forgot. You chose not to obey. Ephesians 5:4 tells us, pay what you vow. Okay. Which comes first, people? Pharaoh hardening his heart or his not hearkening? Does Pharaoh harden his heart first and then he doesn't hearken? Or does he not hearken and then he hardens his heart? Do you know which comes first? Well, I'll tell you. Every reference to Pharaoh here in Exodus says that he first hardened his heart before his not hearkening. Now, I said, I've got to do some research. Is that always the case? Do we always harden our heart first, and then we don't hearken to God's word? Well, let me read to you one passage that I found where hearkening not to the word of God occurred first and then hardening. But watch what happened after they hardened. Then they hearkened not. Watch, I'm going to read to you. This is out of 2 Kings. You don't have to turn there. 2 Kings 17. Hopefully I got the reference on your sheet. Verses 13 through 15. Listen now. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah. How did he do this? Well, by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, what did he say to them? Turn ye from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes according to the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear. They would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, and they did not believe in the Lord their God. All right? So they would not hear, then they hardened, but watch what come next. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity. They became vain. And they went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So what we see here is first they wouldn't hear. Then they hardened. And then they wouldn't hear. Bringing our attention back here to our passage right here in Exodus. The point I want you to make is this. Certainly, because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, he would not hearken to God's word. All right? But listen to me. Each time God gives him another chance to hearken to his word and he refuses to hearken to it, it must also harden his heart more and more. Therefore, the last two purposes on your sheet. I purpose to acknowledge, yet my heart is hardened. How? Well, as evidenced by my not hearkening to the words of God. Watch the next one. I purpose not to further harden my heart by refusing to hear the words of God. You cannot continue to say no to God without it having an effect on your heart. And it's not to make it more pliable to the things of God. It is to cause it to become harder to the things of God. We don't listen because of a hardened heart. But when we fail to listen, it hardens the heart even more. Well, what's going to happen next in the life of Pharaoh? What's going to happen next in your life, in my life? A lot of it depends on what we do with the Word of God, the Word that we hear from Him. Do we hearken to it and heed it, or do we reject it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it would be our prayer today that you would wonderfully and graciously minister to us in the following way, that you would truly give us a heart that is soft, open to the things of God, that we would receive them as evidenced by the fact that we would obey them and do them. Oh, Lord, impress upon us that every time this week we make the decision not to hear and do what you've commanded us to hear and do, that we will be hardening our heart more and more. We just ask, Lord, that you're going to use just the testimony of Pharaoh as a strong warning to each and every one of us to hear, to heed the word of God. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.